Some years ago, I played the lead in a play called Whose Life Is It Anyway, which told the story of an artist who was paralyzed from the neck down as a result of a car crash. Now, it told the story of his fight to have the right not to be assisted to live. In other words, his right to choose to die. Now, in a case of life imitating art, Sydney man Peter Billsborough was left with permanent spinal cord injuries following a surfing accident back in 2010. And his niece, Tracy Roberts, has written his story in a book called The Will to Live, The Courage to Die. Good morning, Tracy.
Hello, Ron. How are you? Thanks for having me on the program.
It's my pleasure. Tell us about Peter, the man before the accident.
Well, Peter was a participator of life, not a spectator. He lived life to the full. He surfed every day, morning and afternoon, raced his motorbike at Eastern Creek. He took on life and just enjoyed every second of it. So, unfortunately, doing what he loved the most, surfing, was what caused his horrific accident.
Okay, tell us a little about the accident.
Well, he broke his neck surfing at Palm Beach in one of Sydney beaches and resulted in having identical injuries as Christopher Reeves, a C2 ventilator quadriplegic, which meant he could only live on life support.
It was quite miraculous that he survived at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, when they found him floating face down in the surf, they actually didn't know how long he'd been in the water for and whether there was any brain damage, but there wasn't, fortunately. He was fully cognitive and could talk to us, etc.
So. Okay. Well, tell us about, I guess, around about that period when, you know, the family started obviously gathering together, and how it hit you that what had happened to Peter was such a permanent injury.
I don't think you fully take on the scale of it at the time because it's so tragic. You just have to roll with it and work with it and work with staying on track with him. Obviously, it was the worst thing that had ever happened to our family. But Peter's courage was just phenomenal throughout. In fact, he offered us the strength that we needed to support him through his journey while he was in ICU. So.
And how long did he stay in ICU?
He never left ICU. He ultimately died in ICU. He was there for 4 months.
All right. I'm talking to Tracy Roberts, by the way, about a book that she has written called The Will to Live, The Courage to Die. It's a book about her uncle and his tragic accident that occurred back in 2002 when he fell off a surfboard the wrong way. He was lucky to survive. But sadly, the journey was coming to an end for him after that accident because he obviously decided at some point in time, Tracy, that this was not for him, the way he had to live his life from here on in.
No. Look, Peter, whilst his injuries were identical to Christopher Reeves, there were a lot of contributing factors to his choice to die. He was racked with pain. He was gravely ill, having ingested a lot of sand during his accident. They were still removing sand from his lungs some 3 to 4 weeks after his accident, so he was quite sick. And he worked very, very hard at trying to get some movement back. He set a benchmark for himself. If he was able to use one arm to take care of his personal needs, he would want to live. But he basically couldn't move from the neck down.
Mm. Now, look, I'm a little curious because, as I mentioned in my introduction, I played the lead in a play called Whose Life Is It Anyway? And it was about the legal struggle that that character had to die. What were the legal implications of Peter's choice?
Fortunately for Peter, there's a fine line in medicine where a ventilated quadriplegic, meaning somebody on life support, can refuse their life support and have it switched off like a cancer patient refusing chemotherapy. Had Peter been able to move his diaphragm and breathe on his own, he wouldn't have had that choice to have his life support switched off.
Mm. Can you remember your reaction when you first heard the news that Peter had decided to take this route?
Peter actually called me into his room to his bedside and asked me to go into the family doctor meeting that afternoon and tell the family his wishes that he didn't want to die. And I think at first the brain doesn't want to quite believe that somebody's telling you that, because we're all geared to live, to want to live, and because he had lived such a full life, it was very hard to comprehend, but one that we all respected.
Did anybody try to talk him out of it?
No, because of knowing the type of man that he was and having seen him work so hard to try and live through this travesty, I guess we decided to take on board what his belief was and that he wanted to die with dignity.
Mm-hmm. So when did you decide to write the book?
Well, after I stopped being in fetal position trying to cope with losing my uncle, I decided something good had to come from this, because Peter had always said when he was in hospital that he wanted something good to come from his tragic accident. So I decided to firstly write the book to lift awareness on paralysis, because I was overwhelmed with how many people would say to me, well, why do some people break their back and they're able to walk and others can't? And I thought a lot of people out there don't understand the difference between spinal damage and spinal cord damage.
Yeah.
So I wrote the book to get the message out there. When Peter was initially in hospital, I looked for similar books to help our family cope with the process, and I couldn't really find anything out there. So I thought, well, if I can bring about some good, I'll write this book, Lift Awareness on Paralysis, and also I did it to try and raise some money for the wheelchair project that I've set up with Rotary.
Tell us quickly about that.
Well, Rotary have come on board to help me raise funds for the wheelchair project, which is initially we want to raise $18,000 to purchase a chin control wheelchair for patients with similar injuries to Peter. The reason for that was when Peter was able to use his chin control wheelchair on day one, after having been in bed for 4 weeks, he felt he had some sense of power and life back, and he was so happy. And that chair never worked another day after that, and it was very frustrating for him. So I thought, well, if I try and raise funds to replace that chair, then I'll stop somebody else from suffering the same frustrations. And so I approached Rotary to come on board and form this foundation, form this fundraiser, and any funds over and above the $18,000 for the chin control wheelchair will go towards repairing or replacing all the wheelchairs of Sydney's Royal North Shore Hospital.
It's a wonderful cause. You've done a wonderful job with the book. And if I may quote you, life can change at a moment's notice, and you never know when it's coming.
That's true.
I guess you've got to be like your Uncle Peter and just live it to the full.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Tracy Roberts, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you, Ron. Nice speaking with you.